I know you're expecting to hear Romans chapter 1, verse 16, but today you're going to hear Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 on Jesus Made Me Kosher. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And we do want to welcome you to a beautiful Tuesday sunny edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher, sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. Rabbi Lauren Jacobs and Rabbi Glenn Harris, we're delighted to come to you every weekday at the same time. And Rabbi Lauren, you and I were talking earlier today about just how we're losing all our young people, and that got us talking about why we need to really talk about the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God, and how we and the next generation need to be able to understand why it is authoritative and accurate and reliable, not just about history, but about theological things, spiritual things. It is the all-in-all book, but we have to be able to understand how to interpret it and apply it and to be able to articulate why it is such a remarkable book.
Absolutely true, Rabbi Glenn. Yesterday I was listening to Pastor Chris Brooks, who has a show right after ours, and he was talking to Norm Geisler, one of the great apologists of our day, and they were talking about the fundamentals of the faith, and one of the absolute fundamentals is believing that the Bible, from Genesis through Revelation, is divinely inspired and accurate. And that really got me thinking, Rabbi Glenn, that this is such a basic truth, such an important truth. It's something that we don't hear enough of. And the younger generation really needs to understand that the Bible is accurate and true and divinely inspired.
And so we want to encourage our Faith Talk 1500 listeners, and we thank God for all of you. This is going to be a great series. Rabbi Lauren and I anticipate we'll be talking about this, not necessarily consecutive days, but on several upcoming days, including today, on why the Bible is unique, why it is so important. And this is one of those series of shows we want to urge you, bring your teenagers, bring your kids in, let them listen in on the show and give them the opportunity to hear these things.
And we should let people know, Rabbi Glenn, that these shows are recorded and they're kept on the WLQV Faith Talk 1500 website for at least a week, so people could have access to the show for at least a week. Also, we have the notes that these shows are going to be based on, and anyone is welcome to a free copy of these notes as long as they email us at shema777@aol.com. That's Shema, S-H-E-M-A, 777 at AOL.com. We will be happy to send them these notes that we're going to discuss, 11 ways that demonstrate that the Bible is unique among all the religious books of the world and that it is divinely inspired.
Well, let's talk about these 11 ways that demonstrate the Bible to be so unique and to be so authoritative. The first, Rabbi Lauren, is divine origin. The first way that the Bible is unique and is because it claims to be the Word of God. It's one of the few books that makes that claim. It claims to be the uniquely inspired communication from our Creator to us. The authors claim that their words were inspired by God. Rabbi Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, said, "All Scripture is inspired by God," meaning inspired, God-breathed. And the phrases, "thus says the Lord," or "the word of the Lord," I mean, these phrases are used hundreds of times. And with these kinds of claims, we would expect then that the Bible would meet or exceed the highest standards for accuracy.
And it does, Rabbi Glenn. And really, this makes the Bible unique. There are very few books in the world that have ever claimed to be divinely inspired. So that sets the Bible apart from almost all other books with claims to ultimate truth. And there's other reasons besides this claim to divine origin that indicate that the Bible is unique and is divinely inspired, like its unity and harmony. God commissioned 40 different authors from all walks of life over a period of 1,500 years who were living on three continents to write the 66 books of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, the writers are united in the truth to reveal a complex drama about God's redemption of humanity from eternity past to eternity future. Rabbi Glenn, just think how incredible that is. Here you have 40 men separated by 1,500 years and three continents, all agreeing on the most important themes in unity and harmony on what the Word of God is.
And, you know, somebody who would want to argue, well, it was all a conspiracy. Come on. These people didn't live during the same period of time. It's not like they could get together in committee and say, hey, you know, let's make sure this gets in and let's make sure that stays out. I mean, these are people living not only across the span of the world, but across the corridors of time, over 1,500 years separating some of these authors. And yet there is this thread, this unity weaving the entire thing together. And it's amazing. People who had no idea about each other's existence, well, at least, you know, I mean, you could say that Rabbi Paul, of course, knew about Isaiah. Isaiah didn't know that necessarily there would be a Rabbi Paul. And yet the consistency of this. So you're right, Rabbi Lauren, the unity, the harmony that weave together these 66 books with this magnificent, consistent thread, it really does speak to a divine origin.
It does. Number three, Rabbi Glenn, the third reason why the Bible is unique and divinely inspired is its popularity and its influence. The Bible is the most circulated book in human history. It has been read and studied and quoted by more people than any other book ever written. No other book has impacted society around the world and culture around the world so impressively, or has changed so many lives so dramatically. That makes the Bible unique, Rabbi Glenn, its popularity, its influence on the world.
I'm thinking especially its influence because, I mean, Harry Potter is wildly popular, but you don't see people swearing an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth on a Harry Potter book or Hunger Games book. It's on the Word of God, the Bible. And yes, and it has changed individual lives. It has impacted entire societies. So yeah, absolutely, Rabbi Lauren. More than any other book in the history of the world, the Bible has impacted human history. But now the question goes to, okay, can we know that the scriptures as we have it today, I'm holding in my hand my Student Bible NIV edition, the one I happen to have with me today, can I, holding this Bible, know that this has been reliably transmitted across the thousands of years and from Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek? Well, you know, people have heard, Rabbi Lauren, that the text of the Bible has been corrupted over the centuries, but you and I know that the Hebrew scriptures have been meticulously maintained and transmitted. The Dead Sea Scrolls blew that whole field of bibliographics wide open. Back in 1948, this little shepherd boy made this unbelievable discovery, manuscripts near the Dead Sea. Complete manuscripts such as Isaiah, the Psalms, Deuteronomy, and we're talking things that were, you know, copied over 2,000 years ago, and they were found in these caves near the Dead Sea. And these ancient manuscripts are essentially the same as our modern copies. You pick up your New American Standard, your NIV, ESV Bible, and you hold it up. For example, you look at Isaiah, and if you were to go to Jerusalem to the Shrine of the Book, where the entire scroll of Isaiah has been kept in just meticulous condition, and it's on display in hermetically sealed glass, you can go word by word by word by word, and you are reading in Hebrew substantially what you are looking at in English. It's just magnificent, Rabbi Lauren. This proves that these scriptures were transmitted over the years with extraordinary precision.
So we can have confidence that the Bible that we're reading, of course, we're reading for the most part English translations, but they're English translations based on Hebrew manuscripts and Greek New Testament manuscripts. We can have confidence, Rabbi Glenn, that we are reading virtually the same exact information that was transmitted 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 years ago.
That's true. And even on the what people would allege are discrepancies in the Bible, you know, so many of these are just such minor scribal errors or even just differences in spelling, a plene versus a defectiva spelling. For example, here in America, we spell the word labor, L-A-B-O-R. In Great Britain, it's L-A-B-O-U-R. And so there, I mean, there's some stylistic differences, but, you know, we're looking at a text that both Old and New Testament combined is over 98.33% precise. Precise, and that 1.67% difference are not anything that has any substance theologically or doctrinally. It's these minor little stylistic differences.
It doesn't change any major doctrine of what the Bible teaches. And when it comes to the New Testament, Rabbi Glenn, we have thousands of New Testament documents, some of them written very early in the first and second centuries. And they, too, show that the text of the Bible has not been corrupted, but has been faithfully transmitted. And where there are some of these, scribal differences, we have great scholars today who can go through the whole families of manuscripts and trace where an error, a copyist error, may have come in and really get us back to the original meaning of the text. So people can be confident of the absolute reliability of transmission of both the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, and also the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, the New Testament scriptures written in Greek.
Yeah. Now, Rabbi Lauren, let's talk about number five on our list of 11, and that's indestructibility. The Bible has endured, it has withstood intense scrutiny by, hundreds, maybe thousands of skeptics. It's survived continuous attacks, the attempt to destroy it by emperors, kings, dictators. It's been maligned and mocked. I recall that Voltaire suggested that within a generation of his own time, you wouldn't find a Bible anywhere in Europe. And now the apartment he was living in is a place where they print and publish Bibles. In any case, it's survived all these attacks, all the kings and dictators, those who would withhold the word of God from people have failed in their attempts to silence the message. God's word will stand forever. And the prophet tells us, we know that the heavens and the earth will pass away, but God's word will stand forever. And Rabbi Lauren, it really has. It's unique even in its endurance and indestructibility.
Yes. And that brings us to reason number six, why the Bible is unique from all the other religious books and claims to truth in the world, and why the Bible alone is divinely inspired. And that is, Rabbi Glenn, its unique message, this message of salvation by grace through faith and not human effort. The Bible proclaims salvation that is offered to us by God as a free gift of God's grace, his unmerited favor, something that he is doing for us that he doesn't have to do, but he does it anyway. And we receive salvation through our coming to know the Messiah, and that's Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, and then transferring our loyalties to the three-in-one God. God the Father, Messiah the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. All other religious books declare that man must merit salvation or earn salvation through our efforts, through our works, or through religious rituals or rites or law-keeping of some kind. No other religion, Rabbi Glenn, offers the grace of God and the Savior that God sent by means of our faith, our receptiveness, transferring our loyalties. So this makes the message of the Bible unique, and it stands alone in this regard from all other religious books and claims to truth.
Well, let me ask you this, Rabbi Lauren. Do you think maybe that's part of what's behind the unpopularity of those who actually believe the Bible? You know, the Bible is still paid a lot of lip service, but those who actually believe the Bible are mocked and treated, you know, disdainfully by large swaths of the world today. And I'm wondering if it's precisely because of that message of grace that you cannot earn your way to heaven. You couldn't do it. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't do it. That's not very ego gratifying. The idea that I'm helpless and clueless and salvation had to be accomplished for me, outside of me. And maybe that's just very unpopular with people who think, no, I want to be able to earn it. I want to be able to say I did it. In other words, ego gratification.
I think that's one reason why the Bible is despised in Western civilization, because it does humble us. We don't merit salvation. We can only receive it as a gracious gift by the Creator. That's not a message that appeals to our pride. And also, I think because, you know, we live in a secular humanistic culture and the Bible is a supernatural book, and that very much goes at odds with the dominant, you know, culture of the day.
I know that I was drawn for years to New Age kinds of philosophies, and there were religious books that went along with what I was following way back when. And, you know, Rabbi Lauren, I think what appealed to me about that and what kind of kept me away from reading the Bible, even though deep down I suspected that that was where the truth was contained, is because the Bible had these things that said thou shalt and thou shalt not, and I didn't want anybody telling Glenn how to live.
No, I think you're right, Rabbi Glenn. You know, the Bible claims to be authored by a holy God, and he calls us to be holy as he is holy. And human beings don't want to be holy. They want to give in to the lusts of the mind and the lusts of the flesh and the pride of life. And so they invent religions and, you know, spirituality without holiness. Mm. And the Bible does not tolerate that. So again, this makes the Bible unique. It's got a unique message of the way of salvation. Nothing that we can earn, nothing that we merit. It's based on the free gift of God, the grace of God, that we just say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this gift. I transfer my loyalties to you know, God, my Father, Messiah, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God. And you know what's so great, Rabbi Lauren, is not shrouded in mystery and it's not cryptic and hard to understand. God has given us a word that is easily understandable. A child can grasp it. A scholarly man will never cease to find fascination in plumbing its depths. But, you know, it's not dangled before us like a carrot that nobody can attain to. It's right there for us. I appreciate that so much.
Rabbi Glenn, let me just say, again, we have these notes that we are using today, these 11 reasons why the Bible is unique and divinely inspired. We are happy to forward them to anyone who emails us at shema777, that's S-H-E-M-A 777 at AOL.com. You should have these notes. You know, you need to know why the Bible is divinely inspired and accurate. You need to be able to defend one of this, you know, most important fundamentals of the faith. We need to teach this to our children, to the next generation. We want to have this available for skeptics. So, you know, have these notes. Email us shema777 at AOL.com.
Yeah, we'd be delighted to send those out to you folks. And by the way, we really do appreciate hearing from you. If you're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, we'd really like to know that. And so drop us an email or just fire off a little note in the mail. Let us know, hey, I do listen to Jesus Made Me Kosher. I'm getting something out of this. Keep it going. It would help us to know that. Well, Rabbi Lauren, we do have a little bit of time. Let's talk about the historical and geographical accuracy. You know, archaeologists continue every year to unearth new evidence of ancient peoples, places, cultures, all of which are described in the Bible, and the descriptions have always proven to be completely reliable and accurate. You know, I remember that there was an argument going back about a generation that suggested that John, the Gospel of John, couldn't have been written by John or anybody who was a contemporary of Yeshua, because they described the Siloam Pool as having five porticos, and the archaeologists, the secularists, said, well, we all know that every one of the pools that have been excavated in Jerusalem all have four porticos, not five. And so what happens? Back in early 1990s, Biblical Archaeology Review publishes this article. They had found and began excavating the Siloam Pool, and lo and behold, there is a fifth transecting portico. And so every claim that you find in the Bible about geography, about history, about people, places, things, every single time it proves to be accurate. Of course, you'd like to think that the skeptics and the cynics would change their tune, but they seem to always continue to harp on errors that they think are there and that it can't be reliable. But Rabbi Lauren, talk to us about William Ramsey, because he a great man who had powerful things to say about that.
Well, he was one of the greatest archaeologists ever to have lived, or at least people of his generation thought so. And although initially skeptical about the accuracy of the Book of Acts, after some research, he became aware of the meticulous accuracy of the Book of Acts and its historical details, and his attitude towards the Book of Acts changed. He concluded that Luke, who wrote the Book of Acts, is a historian of the first rank. Luke should be placed along with the very greatest of historians.
Wow. That's high praise from somebody regarded so highly in the field of archaeology.
And Rabbi Glenn, you know, you gave an example about the pool of Shiloach or Siloam. I remember, you know, skeptics from generations ago used to question whether the Bible was true because it mentioned Hittites. You know, it mentions this ancient civilization, the Hittites, and we had found no archaeological evidence for the Hittites, and so therefore, obviously, the Bible, they concluded, could not be true. But lo and behold, guess what, Rabbi Glenn? Of course, you know, archaeologists discovered the entire Hittite civilization.
That's right. George Mendenhall, two generations back, went to great lengths to show the parallels between these ancient Hittite treaties that they found in abundance and the Book of Deuteronomy itself. And so, yeah, and yet in every generation, there are going to be cynics and there are going to be skeptics. And folks, some of these people are teaching college courses, and your kids are in these courses, and they're being told that the Bible is just fairy tales and myths, and they're being given very selective data that doesn't bring these things into play. And we really would like you to be able to have these notes. So let me give that information out again, Rabbi Lauren. If you would like to get a copy of these notes on the historical reliability, the uniqueness, the authority of the scriptures, and how it can be demonstrated, we want to encourage you to write us. You can go to our website at shema.com, or you can email us, shema777, that's S-H-E-M-A, 777 at AOL.com, and request a copy of these notes on the reliability of the Bible, and we will be glad to send those out to you.
Yes, and we're not going to be able to finish up these notes today. We've only got through 7 of the 11, but the last three, which Lord willing we'll talk about on Thursday, the Bible is unique because it is painfully honest about the major people in the Bible, and other, you know, books and authors tend to flatter themselves and only speak, you know, positive things, but not the Bible. That makes it very special, Rabbi Glenn. And then the whole issue of scientific accuracy. The Bible really is special because what it says lines up with scientific truth. And then the Bible describes reality better than any other philosophy or religion or worldview, number 10. And number 11, Bible prophecy, which makes the Bible absolutely unique.
And we're going to take our sweet time because these are fantastic topics, and each of these deserves to be explored. So again, folks, we invite you to tune in all throughout this week at the same time to listen to Jesus Made Me Kosher. And on behalf of Rabbi Lauren and myself and everybody at Congregation Shema Yisrael, we want to thank you for being with us today. Invite you back tomorrow at the same time and visit our website. It's shema.com. And let me just say shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.